Today we want to look at this thought. Jesus has redeemed us from sin, sickness, disease, failure, poverty, and inferiority. Sin that brought curses into the Garden of Eden has been blocked out. Whether you agree with me or not, I want to tell you why I believe this. And pay close attention, and I believe when I get through it, if I have time to get through it, that you'll agree for the most part. When I was born again, my sins were blotted out by the blood of Christ. I also was redeemed from the curses, but I didn't know it. I was redeemed from strep throat, but I didn't know it. So I had strep throat all winter long until I was about 31 years old. When God gave me this revelation from Matthew 8, 16 and 17, and Jesus asked me, do you believe I'm here to take your infirmities and your sicknesses? And I saw it, and I said, yes. From that moment, I realized that all the curses that came with sin that hinders me and keeps me from doing what God has called me to do, that those things had been also blotted out by His blood. I've been redeemed from those curses. And if I believe God, it's not automatic. If I believe God, I can be healed of strep throat. And so from that moment, when I really began to realize that, when strep tried to come on me, you've seen me right here, resist the devil, devil, you take your strep and get out of here. And every time God's healed me, so I've been able to come and preach, hadn't missed preaching for any kind of sickness for 43 years. You can say you don't believe it, but I have to believe it.
Praise God.
To keep preaching. Okay. Paul says we are redeemed from the curse. If Paul said it, I believe it. How about you? So today I want to show you what I have learned about this subject. Christ, in Galatians 3:13, Paul says, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. This means by blotting out our sins with His blood, Jesus Christ redeemed us from the curse of the consequences of sin. Curses is nothing more than the consequence of your sin. You go hop in bed with somebody, you may come back with HIV, AIDS, and die. That's a curse. That's a consequence for sin. So how do we know this? How do we know what Paul is talking about? In this same chapter, a few verses earlier, Paul says, for as many as are of the works of the law, are under a curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them. In other words, people who live in rebellion, unrighteous people, have curses. They come because they're unrighteous. All those who do not abide by all things written in the book of the law to perform them are under a curse. And so, look around. The whole world appears to be under a curse. Worldwide, look how many millions of people died just from COVID alone. And there's been all kind of plagues down through history. And so those curses are real. But I believe that God's people who are serving Him can be are redeemed from those curses. And if we believe God, we can be healed and restored and made whole until it's God's time for us to go to heaven. And it's working pretty good for me. You see, we can easily see what Paul means by curse because this is a quote from Deuteronomy 27, verse 26. Cursed is he who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them. In other words, Paul is quoting from Deuteronomy 27 and 28, where all the curses are listed. Also, that's where all the blessings are listed. And you decide if you're going to live under blessings, and under the new covenant, you decide if you're going to live under His blessings by accepting Christ, being washed clean, being redeemed from your sins. And then He also, if you believe Him, can take away your sickness, your disease, your failure, your poverty, inferiority, and bless you. Did you hear what these two young people were saying about how God had used Ronnie to bless them? Their lives have been totally changed. You listen to the way they were speaking. Everything about them has been changed because of the Word of God. This Torres, both of those young people that shared there, and of course, Stephanie, you know, she's doing fantastic, she and her family. But Torres took a job working for Chick-fil-A, and they promoted him to manager. I mean, he's running the place. And his self-image really changed, and that was Jesus Christ. God used Ronnie, but Jesus Christ changed even the way he sees himself.
Yeah, amen.
He will heal you emotionally, mentally, spiritually, physically, socially, financially. And the only thing he hadn't healed about me is my looks. So keep praying. Everyone who breaks God's law is under the curse. And that means practicing living under it. Deuteronomy chapters 27 and 28 is the passage that lists the curses or consequences that come on lawbreakers. Keep in mind that this passage was not at that time broken down into chapters and verses, just one passage. So 27 and 28 are tied together, and Paul was quoting from 27. So if you want to know what the curses are, read those two chapters. But if our sins are blotted out, we are seen as righteous, not lawbreakers, and the law and the curses do not apply to us. I don't know why that's so hard for people to get. But if our sins are blotted out, we are seen as righteous, not as lawbreakers. If you're unrighteous and living for the devil, you're going to have curses. But if you're righteous and living for Jesus Christ, you're going to have curses and attacks come against you. But because you've been redeemed from those things, you can take authority over them.
Amen.
It's not automatic. Why are so many Christians living under sickness and disease and failure and poverty? A lot of it's because they don't know this. They don't know that what Isaiah prophesied was, truly hath borne our sickness and carried away our pains. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. His chastisement peace was upon him, and with his stripes were healed. That covers the whole thing.
Hey.
Truly hath borne our sickness and carried away our pains. Then there's our transgressions and iniquities that's covered by his blood. And then it says, with his stripes were healed, made whole. I heard a preacher preach the other day, and he just skipped over the front part. He said, well, forget that. And he went to the next part, which says, Jesus Christ bore our iniquities and our sins. And he said, that's spiritual healing. Well, he totally misused the whole passage. Now, you can listen to people like that if you want to, but I'm not going to listen to a preacher who skips over half the Bible.
Amen.
Truly have borne our sickness and carried away our pains. He was wounded for our transgression, bruised for our iniquity. His chastisement peace was upon him, and with his stripes were healed. And Matthew said Jesus went about healing. He says he healed all that came to him to fulfill that prophecy. If Jesus got it wrong, then he just got it wrong, but I don't think he got it wrong. He healed all because Isaiah said that when he came, he'd take our infirmities and sicknesses. Why? Because when he blotted out the sin, he redeemed you from those curses that are for the unrighteous, not for the righteous.
Amen.
You ever heard me pray this? Lord, we claim the blessings from Deuteronomy 28.
Thank God.
Blessed to be in the city, blessed to be in the field, blessed be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy ground, the fruit of thy cattle, the increase of thy kind, the flocks of thy sheep. Blessed be thy basket in store, blessed to be when thou comest in, and blessed to be when thou goest out. Thine enemies that rise up against thee shall be smitten before thy face. They shall come out against thee one way, and flee from before thee seven ways. And the Lord shall command his blessings upon thy storehouses, upon all thy settest in hand unto him. You like that? I've been praying that over you, over the this congregation, both services, probably about almost 30, 40 years.
Thank you.
And I stop right there. I don't go to verse 15. And this is what Paul is talking about right here. You can have the blessings if you're born again.
Yeah.
And you're righteous. But if you're not born again, you're not righteous. I'm going to show you what's coming your way. Deuteronomy 28:15. But if you will not obey the voice of the Lord your God, then all these curses shall come upon you and overtake you. Cursed shall you be in the city, and cursed shall you be in the field. Cursed shall be the fruit of your body, of your land, of the increase of your cattle, and the young of your sheep. Does that explain why so many people around us are under great curses? It's because they're not born-again people, and born-again people don't know they have a right to believe God for deliverance and healing. Verse 19, cursed shall you be when you come in, and cursed shall you be when you go out. Have me like the first 14 verses better. If you're born again, you get the first 15. Verse 22, the Lord will smite you with consummation, with fever and inflammation, fiery heat, sword and drought, blasting and mildew. They shall pursue you until you perish. You see, this is not for the redeemed. This is for those who are not redeemed. The Lord will smite you with the boils of Egypt and the tumors, the scurvy, and the itch from which you cannot be healed. Incurable diseases will come. The Lord will smite you with madness, mental illness, and blindness, and dismay. You see, He is promising His people, you won't have these things if you serve Me. That's what that is. It's a promise to God's people. How many of God's people? You're in the new covenant, but you're still His people. If you're not, you're going to hell. You better get your hand up. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 60, moreover, He will bring upon you all the diseases of Egypt, which you were afraid. They shall cling to you. Verse 61, also every sickness and every affliction, which is not written in this book, even things you never heard of, not written in this book of the law, the Lord will bring upon you until you are destroyed, are annihilated because of your rebellion. And I do not believe these things are directly from the hand of God. That's what's built in. And when you live an ungodly life, those things are coming your way. And they're curses that come from Satan himself, because there weren't any curses in the Garden of Eden. Why is that so hard for people to understand? It was a perfect air-conditioned garden, and there was not any sickness or disease there until sin came. When sin came, that's when all the curses came. The devil brought all that in. And when you deliver, as a Christian, you deliberately sin, you're going to bring a curse in your life until you repent.
Amen.
But if you're righteous, God sees you as righteous. And if you do mess up, ask Him to forgive you and get back on track. 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Keep listening. I'm talking about 99 mile an hour, but you know why. I got to hurry. You will have diseases you have never heard of. You see, these are the curses. How many remember the first time you ever heard of HIV? How many remember the first time you ever heard of COVID? See, all these curses, where are they coming from? The evil side, the dark side, from Satan. These are the curses Paul says we have been redeemed from because Jesus blotted out our sins. Back to Galatians 3:13, Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law. And that's what he's talking about, what I just read.
Amen.
He quoted from the passage. That is a quote. I don't want to go back into that. I got to keep going. These are the curses. You see, if we're born again, we are obeying His voice. We do not qualify for the curses. We qualify for the blessings. And we've heard so many preachers preaching to us and tell us we're just dirty old worms, and we're not worthy of anything. Listen, in the natural, that might be true, but as born again believers washed in the blood of Christ, we are worthy of all the blessing that God has available.
Yes.
Right. You see, the thief can come to steal, kill, and destroy, but we are redeemed from the curses, and we can take authority over them in the name of Jesus. That's why you see me mention, I took authority over the devil when he's trying to attack my throat, and I healed instantly in front of you. Time to, I walked here and couldn't even speak, and God healed me right in front of you. What do you think that is? What do you think that is? It's me acting on the Word of God, and it works. That's what it is. Okay, Hebrews 2:14. Since the children have flesh and blood, this tells you exactly how He did it. Since the children have flesh and blood, He too shared in their humanity, so that by His death He might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. So look around the world and tell me to what degree the devil is destroyed in the world. He's not destroyed at all. He's getting worse. And Jesus prophesied iniquity would even get worse. What does this mean? This means that Jesus destroyed the power of the devil over us by taking away our sins. When He blotted out my sins, I became righteous in the eye of God. It doesn't depend on how I act. You might say, well, you don't always act righteous. Well, I am righteous because of the blood.
Yeah.
Amen. And so are you if you've accepted Christ. And if there is something in your life that He's not pleased with, He'll convict you of it, and all you got to do is confess it. And He'll forgive you and quit worrying about it. When Jesus blotted out our sins, he destroyed the old slave master's power over us. The power of the devil over me has been destroyed because my sins is blotted out. When the sins is blotted out, the door, the devil does not have a door to get in. When you sin, it opens the door to the devil and his curses. So it's important for us not to intentionally, deliberately do something the Bible says is sin. What is sin? Rebellion against God. Do not live in rebellion against God. And if you're righteous, your heart won't allow you to live in rebellion to God because your heart wants to live for God. Now we have authority to stop Satan. Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. What do you think that means? Resist the devil and he'll flee from you. That doesn't apply to somebody that's unrighteous. That applies to those who are born again. You say he redeemed us by blotting out our sins. Listen to this, Colossians chapter 2, verse 14. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And what are those ordinances? It's the law of God. And it says that all of the law that we had broken, all the sins that we committed, were nailed to the cross and blotted out with his blood.
Amen.
Now look what it says. Anybody here like the Bible? Do you believe the Bible? Then believe this. Blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against you, which was contrary to you, and took it out of the way, nailing your sins to the cross. Verse 15, and having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in the cross. What does that mean? It means that he has disarmed demons and devils, and they no longer have a legal right to touch you. It's right there. And having disarmed, and some translate that way, that's really what it means, disarmed principalities and powers. How did he disarm them? He took away my sin. They no longer have a legal right to me. Well, if that's true, you'd never get sick. You'd never have any problems. Are you kidding me? The devil hasn't retired. Yeah, as long as he's around, we're going to have problems, big problems. But if we know we've been redeemed, we can take our authority. Get out of here. Why would Jesus say, I'll give you authority if he didn't? And if authority had no meaning, why don't people think, if authority had no meaning, why would he say, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy? I have authority over all the power of the enemy, but I've got to take that authority. He's tried to kill me many times. And having spoiled his armed principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in the cross. You see, the curses are not for us who have had our sins blotted out. Demons of sickness, disease and poverty have been disarmed because our sins are blotted out. I've been redeemed. What does that mean? That means I've been bought and paid for. That means I'm not my own. That means I belong to him, and the devil has no right to touch God's property. Jesus said, I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. Luke 13:3, a woman was there. Pray close. Y'all paying attention? I'm talking fast, but are y'all listening fast?
Amen.
Luke chapter 13, verse 11. A woman was there who had been crippled by a spirit for 18 years. Verse 16, and ought not this woman, being a daughter of Abraham, whom Satan hath bound, lo, these 18 years, be loosed from this bond on the Sabbath day? This woman was a child of God, but Satan had bound her with this crippling disease for 18 years. Jesus set her free from this spirit, and she was restored to health. When he laid his hands on her, she stood up straight, which means that spirit left her, and for the first time in 18 years, she could stand up straight and be healthy. What caused that? Spirit.
Yes.
And look what Jesus said. And ought not this woman being a daughter of Abraham. What does the daughter of Abraham mean? It means she's a child of God.
Yeah.
You can be a Christian and have a demon making you sick, you know, trying to paralyze you. And I know people want to argue. I didn't come to argue. I just came to get you healed. And if you want to argue, argue with somebody else. I don't argue. I don't debate. I know what God has shown me. I know it works for me. And it might work for you. But Jesus said something kind of interesting. According to your faith. Somehow you got to get to the point where you believe he not only took away your sins, he also provided redemption so that you do not have to suffer from all these curses. You have authority over them. Matthew 10:1, And when he had called unto him his 12 disciples, he gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of disease. Verse 8, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils, freely received, freely give. Jesus gave this authority to the 12, but clearly he has given it to all true believers. Matthew 28:19 says, go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. So we are to do everything that they were commanded to do because he told them to command us to do everything they were commanded to do, which is heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, the devils, cleanse the leper. The world is in a mess. It's time that the church realized their authority and stood up and got busy doing what we're told to do, not just preach spiritual healing, but heal the sick, raise the dead, cast out demons, the devils, and cleanse the leper. If we don't do it, we're living in disobedience.
Yes, indeed.
I even got a couple of amens on that.
That's pretty good.
Luke 10:1. After these things, the Lord appointed other 70 also and sent them two and two before his face into every city and every place whither he himself would come. Verse 9, Jesus commanded them, he said, and heal the sick. If we weren't supposed to heal the sick, why did he command? Well, he commanded the 12. No, this is the 70. These are just 70 men he sent out to be soul winners. And he said, heal the sick that are therein in the cities you enter, and say to them, the kingdom of God is come nigh unto you. You see, they were sent to preach and to heal the sick. And verse 17, and the 70 returned again with joy, saying, Lord, even the devils are subject unto us through thy name. You see, these were the 70, not the 12 apostles. They had authority over demons and devils and authority to heal the sick. He said, heal the sick. Verse 19, and by the way, since the Lord gave me this revelation, I pray for hundreds and hundreds of people, some of them healed of cancer and every kind of disease there is. I've never bought a bus that hit the road. I'm just content to stay here and preach right here. But I want to believe that we're raising up people here that operate in the miracle power of God and go out through Knoxville and get the job done. If I can pray for somebody and get them healed, you can too. Well, I'm not worthy. Well, look at me. I'm not worthy either in myself. It's in verse 19, I give you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions with all the power of the enemy. That's what he said to the 70, not just the 12. And nothing shall by any means hurt you. If you know your authority, you can stop the devil from hurting you. And that doesn't mean you're not going to have any pain. It means the devil will not have the power to destroy you. You can shut him down.
Yes.
John 14:12. I got to get this in. Look at this. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Well, it's the apostles. Hey, at your age and been to seminary, don't you know it's the apostles? Yeah, I'm older and I've been to seminary and I've read the Bible too.
Okay.
And it says believer, not apostle. Pay attention. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, he shall do also. It is not the apostles, but the believer that works miracles. Mark 9:38. Now John answered him, saying, Teacher, we saw. Listen, pay close attention. Teacher, I mean, like a preacher that does his homework. Now you can see I've spent years and even years studying Israelis. Yay. Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons. Cast out demons in your name, and we forbid him because he does not follow us. But Jesus said, do not forbid him, for no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me. You see, this man was working miracles in the name of Jesus, and he was not one of the apostles. It's those apostles. This guy was an apostle. They didn't even know who he was. He just seen the great power coming out of Jesus, believed in Jesus, the Son of God, and started around praying for people in the name of Jesus. People were getting delivered from everything. And remember, you're casting out demons. Demons are behind it's behind strep throats, behind everything. I'm an educated preacher. May not look like it, act like it, talk like it, but I am have a a college degree, master's degree, earned doctorate, I know that there's real diseases and there's real viruses and strep throat is real, but I guarantee the devil's behind every bit of it to make sure you have your chance to get sick.
Man.
And you need to know your authority. As a matter of fact, what's wrong with telling people they got authority?
Come on.
That's all I'm telling you. By the way, that's what Jesus said. I give you authority. And I'm just saying what he said. If I'm lying, so was he. As a matter of fact, they did not even know who this man was. I know who he was. You don't know who he was? He was a believer. He was able to do the works Jesus did simply because he believed in the name of Jesus. Do you believe in the name of Jesus? Do you use the name of Jesus? In the name of Jesus. You see, Mark 9:22, and oftentimes it hath cast him into the fire and into the water to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus put it right back on him. Jesus said unto him, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believeth. The reason we do not get healed sometimes is simply because we do not really believe the word of God. It is the believer, not the apostle. Can you say amen? This boy had demonic seizures, epileptic seizures, and epilepsy is a real thing. They may not have known that name then, but no doubt that's what it was. It was still a demon. The demon was behind it. And when the devil was cast out, then the boy was cured, healed. You see, when this father believed, Jesus cured and delivered him. Matthew 17:18. And Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him, and the child was cured from that very hour. Then, here's where I wanted you to go. Look, then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Now, who are these people? The apostles. They could not deliver this boy and get this boy cured. Why? Because they didn't believe. Well, it was those apostles. Those apostles had no power at this point because they didn't believe. But when they became believers, they started getting people healed and delivered.
And right.
And Jesus said to them, to these apostles, because of your unbelief. For verily, you see, we have unbelief because we have preachers preaching all over the place. It's God's will for you to be sick. Healing is only spiritual. But you can see that is not what Paul said. He said, you've been redeemed from the curses. Now, you can believe Paul or you can believe some of these preachers around here. And by the way, I used to preach exactly opposite of what I'm preaching today. Okay, so I can't throw at his toes. You shall say to this mountain, I say to you, because of your unbelief, for verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, what's that mean? Living, no, so faith. For example, do you really believe in your heart that you have authority? I give you authority over all the power of the enemy. Do you believe that in your heart? If you do, you can take authority over the devil. You shall say unto this mountain, if you have faith that as a grain of mustard seed, living as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, unto this knee, he's talking about a demon clearly, because the little boy had a demon, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible to you. That's the difference between faith, believing the word of God, and believing in the name of Jesus, and not. He said, if you put your faith in me, you can move mountains.
Amen.
The apostles could not cure or deliver this young man because they did not believe. We must believe that Jesus is the Savior and the healer. I am no healer. I can't heal a fly. But Jesus Christ can work miracles if I asked him to. Okay. It really is that simple. You're not going to ask him to if you don't believe the word of God. And I believe Jesus Christ is present to take my infirmities and my sicknesses. That's why I can walk out here and preach no matter what the devil's trying to tell me. It is the believer that does the works that Jesus did. The apostles did the works that Jesus did when they believed. Jesus has redeemed us from sin, sickness, disease, failure, pardon, inferiority. Sin that brought curses into the garden has been blotted out by the blood of Jesus Christ. Jesus has disarmed demons of sickness, disease, and poverty because he blotted out our sins. When the sin is gone, the curse has no legal right to stay. If you know your authority, you can get rid of the curse. Let's all stand.